Support for podcasts of Medical Monday comes from the hospitals of HealthQuest and HealthQuest Medical Practice, physicians offering primary and specialty health care in private office settings throughout the Hudson Valley. 1-888-525-HQMP or 4767 for appointments.
Good afternoon, everybody. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Vox Pop for this Monday, November 12th. I'm Alan Chartok. Support for the Medical Monday comes from Saratoga Abgyn at Myrtle Street, an affiliate of Saratoga Hospital, welcoming Drs. Hayden, Lambers, and Verlegger to the growing team at Saratoga Hospital, saratogaabgyn.org or saratogahospital.org for information. Joining us this afternoon is Dr. Landon Brown, a surgeon with Orthopedic Associates of Dutchess County. He's here to answer your joint replacement questions. No, not those joints. We always get plenty of calls on this program, so be sure to get your questions in early. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Dr. Brown, your call's coming up on the Vox Pop right after this news. Hello, 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 and welcome back once again to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. In the studio, with one light out, this afternoon to discuss joint replacement is Dr. Landon Brown, a surgeon with Orthopedic Associates of Dutchess County. Dr. Brown's interests include rapid recovery, total joint replacement, direct anterior hip replacement, minimally invasive joint reconstruction and robotic-assisted joint replacement surgery. A graduate of the University of New Mexico School of Medicine, he's a member of the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, the American Association of Hip and Knee Surgeons, and American Medical Association. Dr. Brown, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here today.
When you go to a delicatessen, what kind of soda do you drink?
I like Diet Coke.
You don't like Dr. Brown's? Okay. So anyway, for all of you to participate in today's discussion, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. The phones are loading up. We'll go to Jim in Matamoros. Okay, Jim, you're on.
How common is metallosis?
So metallosis is a condition that has recently come to our attention as we were recently putting in metal on metal hips. It's actually not very common, but it is something that we keep an eye on. Anytime we see a metal on metal hip replacement, we keep a close eye on that.
So if it's not metal on metal, what is it? What do you use?
The standard hip replacement being used at this time is either metal on highly cross-linked polyethylene plastic or ceramic on that same plastic.
Okay, thank you, Jim. All right, and now on to Ed in Brimfield, Massachusetts. You're on, Ed. Oops. Ed, you're on.
Yes, thank you. And I'd like to say I love Dr. Brown's when I go to my favorite deli.
And where is that?
Worcester.
Oh, this is your favorite deli in Worcester. There are almost none left in Manhattan, so I thought I'd mention it.
It's the last one left in Worcester.
Okay, go ahead, Ed. What's your question?
I'm a 72-year-old male presenting with eroded cartilage in my great toe joint, and I'm being presented with choices of either pinning or joint replacement, which I understand is more complicated than hip.
I think that the literature evidence shows a much more reliable outcome with the great toe fusion.
And would you recommend the pinning where when the pin comes out, it's not general anesthesia, or the screw and plate where it is?
I think either of those options are very reasonable. The screw and plate obviously is a little bit more of a reliable fusion, but it is a little bit more procedure.
Now, Doc, there are some of us out here who know nothing about what you guys are talking about. Could you sort of explain it to us?
Absolutely. So the toe can develop quite a bit of wear and tear to the articular cartilage, and that is what keeps the bones from grinding together.
It's the kind of thing you see when you're eating a piece of chicken and it's the end of the bone. Right?
That's exactly right. And as that cartilage wears away, the bone begins to rub and it creates quite a bit of pain. So the solution is either to resurface the bone ends, and that is with the joint replacement that was referred to, or to fuse the two bones together, either with a pin or to do a dissection down and put plate and screws bridging the two bones and holding them together until those two bones grow together.
Right, right. So just because maybe I'm not listening well enough, you can replace the cartilage or not?
Cartilage cannot be replaced, but you can resurface it with metal and plastic.
I see. Okay, well, thank you very much. All right, that was Ed in Brimfield. The problem is I pressed hang up, and maybe we need somebody in here who knows what they're doing, because before I pressed the wrong Framis, and then a lock came on it. Don't ask me what that was about, but maybe somebody in this building will know what we're talking about. We'll go now to Janice in South Hadley. Janice, you're on.
Hello, Doc.
Hello.
The question is, are there any signs or symptoms that would indicate that my hip replacement needs replacing? It's 15 years old.
That's a great question. It is important that probably every 5 years you do get an X-ray to check your hip replacement that you can look at how the plastic is wearing. Because often the time that you start developing symptoms is when there's actually problems that are beginning to occur. So if we can monitor that with X-rays, we can recognize where it's wearing out and replace that plastic before there's actually a problem.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
And so we hang up there. Thank you, Raymond. You're
welcome,
here. You're always the best.
Thank you.
1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. There are two people on. You want to get on, now's the time to do it. So I'll ask my question really quickly. Okay, so let's say you're old. I am, 77s, whatever. You fall down and you break your hip. All right, now can you replace that broken hip?
Absolutely. The hip fracture is one of the most common indications for a hip replacement. The fracture unfortunately disrupts the blood supply to the ball that is the top of the femur, and so that generally does not heal well if you try to fix it, and that is the perfect indication to just remove that and to go into the artificial hip replacement.
Then how come every once in a while you hear about somebody who fell down, broke their hip, and died?
Well, often we think of hip fracture as another indicator of just how sick that person is. The bones are obviously fragile enough to break from a simple fall from standing. And the literature does show that a person over the age of 50 who has a fall and breaks their hip has a 30% mortality at 1 year.
Whoa! At 1 year?
That's quite high.
I got to be careful here.
It would be definitely advisable to have checkups on the bone quality you have with a DEXA scan and evaluation for bone density treatment.
No, I hate to get into this, but what if the DEXA scan shows that you have weak bones? Then what do you do?
Well, that's a wonderful recognition of something you can do, something preemptively.
Like?
And medications that we can do, as well as vitamin supplementation to strengthen the bones. And you can cut your risk of a fracture by 50%.
Really? Okay, well, that's great. Okay, very quickly then, on to Jim in Malta. Jim in Malta, you're on. Go.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My grandfather had a Dr. Brown celery tonic delivery route in New York City, the Upper East Side, and we have a picture of his Dr. Brown celery tonic wagon and horse.
That's awesome.
That was a long time ago. When I turned on the radio, I just heard orthopedics, so I thought I'd ask the question, and I hope you can. It's not related to replacing anything, but I developed severe back pain in the spring, and they found out I have stenosis and scoliosis, and I began getting epidural shots every 3 to 4 months. and it works, except I still have recurring minor back pain and aches. And my brother told me about his partner, who has similar back problems, and she gets this procedure, I think it's once a year, called radio ablation.
Uh-huh.
And he said that might be better than getting the steroid injection, but I'd have no more details about it. Are you familiar with that?
I am. That's not my specialty, but the radiofrequency ablation is essentially where you target the nerves that generate the pain associated with low back arthritis. So if you're interested in going down that route, you would get an injection of the nerves in that area. And if that resolved your pain, then they could go in with the procedure and actually burn those nerves with a very pinpoint targeted radio frequency ablation. Those nerves will then not be causing you problems for several years, but they do come back in time.
Is there a downside? Is there a downside to that one?
The biggest downside would be that the pain does generally reoccur as those nerves grow back, and the procedure itself may not completely resolve your symptoms.
Mm-hmm. I get the pain back, like after I go on a hike that evening and the next day, I have medium back pain. And I did mention this to the orthopedic pain specialist about that after my last injection in October, and he said that wouldn't be an option for you. So I was just wondering.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, Jim. In Malta, we have to get off and take a break. You don't mind, do you?
No, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Okay, we'll take a break. And we are back with Dr. Brown. Yes, that Dr. Brown. And he is talking to us today about hip replacements and other replacements and joint replacements, which is not what you get in Western Massachusetts now, joint replacement. I'll give you this if you give me that. Okay, you had to follow me. So now we're going to go to John in Canaan. We all went down to Canaan land. Okay, John, you're on.
Hi there. Doctor, I had double hip replacement in 2008. I haven't had any trouble with either hip since then. And this question is a little bit related to a conversation you had with a woman a little bit earlier. But I think what I'm wondering is, on average, what's the lifespan of what's the anticipated lifespan of a hip replacement procedure?
Well, thanks, John, for the question. It's an excellent question. The average lifespan of a hip replacement is 20 to 30 years, and that's based mm-hmm. on the plastic that we were using 20 to 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We have mm-hmm. recently come out with new plastics in the last 14 years, and the wear rates on that plastic is actually much better. So we're excited and hopeful that in the future we'll have hips lasting even longer. There's a good chance that you have that new plastic if you were just done in 2008.
And you mentioned to the woman prior to me that you were recommending X-ray examinations every 5 years just to
yes, sir.
Make sure everything was okay?
Yes, sir. We just would measure how much the ball is migrating within the socket and make mm-hmm. sure that it's not wearing through the plastic. Because if that plastic gets too thin, you start getting the metal ball rubbing on the metal socket.
Mm-hmm.
And that can, yeah. then is when the pain would start because the components would start to loosen. And it's a much bigger surgery mm-hmm. than just swapping out the plastic.
And we go to the first question. We'll go to the mm-hmm. first question, Jim, from Metamoros, who asked about metallosis. Is that what he called it?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
Go ahead, John, real fast.
Well, no, all done. Thanks very much. Appreciate your advice.
Thanks, John.
Bye. Okay, and on now to Ruth in Woodstock. All right, Ruth in Woodstock, you're on.
Hello, doctor. I would like to ask you if there's any remediation for the peripheral neurology, the peripheral neuritis, I should say, I think from the proprioceptive nerves coming from the spine, which apparently is caused by my rheumatoid arthritis. and my knees are wobbly, my legs are wobbly. I have feelings of water coming out of my legs. Very odd, but it isn't. Is there any remedy for it besides walking as much as I can?
Well, thank you for the question. It's a challenging issue when it comes to nerves. The nerves are essentially the electrical system that tell our muscles how to function and also help us to identify where we are in space. The damage that you may have from your rheumatoid disease is often something that can be moderated with B6 vitamins. That helps to keep your...
Oh, B6 vitamins. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. I never heard of that. That's interesting.
Now, if you've already developed neuropathy, it's...
Mild, they said, but it is bothersome and affects my balance.
Yeah. It may not recur. You may not be able to regenerate and get back to your normal baseline before the damage was done. But I would certainly recommend that you...
You would say, keep walking as much as you can, exercising? Is that helpful to
this? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, Ruth, I've got to let you go. Thank you. Okay, and now on to John in Hyde Park. All right, John in Hyde Park, you're on.
Hi there, how are you?
Good, John. Thank you. How are you?
Great. I just wanted to... I had a hip resurfacing about 4 years ago with Dr. Edwin Sue in Hospital for Special Surgery, and I just wanted to advocate for the operation for the because I forget that anything was ever even done. I just walk normally and exercise normally, and I work on my feet as a teacher at the culinary. I just think that it's... I'm really thankful that I found him and I found this procedure. And I was wondering if it's still controversial.
Oh, absolutely. There's fewer and fewer surgeons performing hip resurfacing at this point just because of the high complication rate.
And what is it, Doc?
Hip resurfacing is a procedure that has been advocated for patients in a younger age range, and it is a metal-on-metal articulation. So it is something that is expected to last longer than metal on plastic, but there has been a high complication rate, so many total joint replacement surgeons are shying away from that.
Okay, glad you said so. Glad you called, John. All right, now let's go to another John. This time it's John in Monticello. All right, John in Monticello, you're on.
Oh, thank you. Doctor and Doctor, as a fellow alum of the University of New Mexico, I applaud you. I have a question about cartilage replenishment. Is it possible to replenish the cartilage in your body, in one's body, or not?
Well, that is an exciting frontier and something I'm going to be paying close attention to as hopefully in the next decade we make large advancements. Unfortunately, we are able to grow cartilage in the lab setting. What we are not able to reproduce is the robust, durable structure that our joints have. We're able to grow the cartilage in sheets, but the actual cartilage in the joints is organized in a very important structure that allows it to be more durable. So we'll see as we develop more advancements how we're able to reproduce that geometry.
And if one more quick question, does an acidic diet, for example, drinking carbonated sodas, does that hasten the deterioration of one's cartilage?
I'm going to be honest that I don't have a good feel of the literature on that particular question.
John, thank you. Okay, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. We got a Rich, and after Rich, it's all over. You guys can get on the phone, get online. Okay, let's go to Rich in West Hurley. Rich, you're on.
Hello, Doctor. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
But I've had recently, in the last 2 years, two procedures. One was my lower four vertebrae were fused, and that corrected the sciatic pain I had.
Yeah.
And the other one was an SI joint was pinned.
Okay.
and I'm recovering from that now. And I'm still experiencing pain after I exercise, but I think I'm on my way to recovery. But the doctor told me that it looks like your hip is the next candidate due to the arthritic condition.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering what you think about that and what should I look for?
I think that, unfortunately, it sounds that your cartilage in multiple places is wearing out and causing problems. So certainly we see this frequently, that the hips, the knees, the back can all be affected by the same osteoarthritis. The one caveat I will say is that dislocation is more common after you've had lumbar spinal fusion. Just because you have less motion through your spine, you have to put more motion through the hip. So a consideration would be a discussion of how they're going to do the hip replacement. There's some different tricks we have that may help to decrease that risk.
Okay, that may explain why I feel a little more pain now when I do exercise.
You're definitely putting more stress on your hip because your spine has less.
I was warned about that. You mentioned vitamin B. Vitamin B6.
B6, yes.
And what was that for again?
For nerve injury.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Okay. Hey, Rick, we've got to let you go. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Tess in Kerhonkson. Tess in Kerhonkson, you're on.
Hi, guys. Doctor, I had surgery for a frozen shoulder about a month ago.
Okay.
I've been going to physical therapy, doing everything I'm supposed to do my exercises, but I'm still in a really good deal of pain.
Yeah.
I was wondering if that was normal.
Unfortunately, frozen shoulder is very painful. And for those of you that don't know what that is, the capsule around the shoulder becomes very thickened and inflamed and scarred down, and the shoulder literally stops moving. So with the surgery is essentially trying to cut holes through the capsule, and then you do therapy to try and stretch out the rest of the capsule. It is unfortunately very common to have a lot of pain as you go through that. But the good news is that in time you can get back to relatively normal shoulder function.
Would you, generally speaking, would you say what a recovery, you know, when you think I might recover?
Well, I think you're going to have issues ongoing for a year after the surgery. Certainly, hopefully, they're getting better throughout the course of that year, but it's not going to be a fast fix.
Can it ever be done without the surgery?
Absolutely. We always try to start first without the surgery. We'll start with a corticosteroid injection, trying to get the inflammation to calm down, physical therapy, working on stretches. But sometimes the body just aggressively gets inflamed and that capsule scars down.
So thank you, Tess. Let me ask you about a NSAID issue. People take these things and it calms the nerves down. Sometimes it works, but why? But sometimes it just masks what's going on. So my question to you would be, why, when you calm down the nerves with a NSAID, with one of those drugs, does it sometimes get better?
That's an excellent question. The NSAIDs are non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. Those would include Aleve, ibuprofen, Motrin. Those medications, they, if you take them cumulatively, have a powerful effect on reducing inflammation.
Right.
And they're very helpful in total joints setting or in arthritis. They... Concern then in your question is are they just masking the problem?
Yes.
And they're helping to reduce the inflammation, but they're not fixing the underlying problem. They're just symptom control.
Gotcha. Okay, and thank you for that. And we'll go now to Lynn in Wilton, New York. All right, Lynn, you're on.
Thank you. I have a titanium plate in my left ankle and 16 screws installed last January as a result of a fracture.
Ouch.
My orthopedic surgeon has said that there's always a possibility of having to take that out. What's the incidence? What would be the reasons for removing it?
So we would not need to take those out unless they became painful for you. So once in a while, you'll notice that the skin and scar tissue over the outside of your ankle is thin and that it gets irritated if you bump against things with your ankle. And if it's really causing you a lot of discomfort, then we can certainly go in and remove those because there's just not a lot of soft tissue or fat to cushion that prominent plate right under the skin.
All right. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. All right. And now on to Rob in Western Massachusetts. Rob, your turn.
Gentlemen, thank you. Calling for a friend. 54-year-old female diagnosed with bone-on-bone arthritis.
Okay.
Very active person, golfer, has horses, has a farm, etc. Was told she is not a candidate for knee replacement because she is too young. I'm curious what the threshold is for when she can just say, I need it because it affects my daily life.
Well, that is an important question and discussion that we have on a regular basis when talking about surgery. You have to weigh the risks and benefits. And when it gets to the point that the arthritis is severely impacting your daily quality of life, then the risks of surgery become more and more acceptable. The age of 54 and being very active puts the knee replacement at risk of wearing out sooner. It's like tires on a car. So if your friend is able to continue to manage the symptoms of the arthritis, it would be optimal to try and get her another few years before she needs a replacement in the hopes that it would be the last surgery she needs for that. Having said that, if it is at the point that she's having problems sleeping at night, it's affecting the way that she thinks about even just household activities or the things she enjoys doing, then, you know, I think that's time to start discussing total joint replacement.
Thank you, Rob. Okay, now on to Barbara in New Paltz. Hello, Barbara.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm in my 80s. I have osteoporosis, and I have a very bad hip. I'm wondering about, it seems to me, so often when really senior people have surgery that they have memory loss, intense. And I'm just wondering if that is something that you see in your practice, doctor.
Well, thank you for the question. Certainly, I think that there is a much more challenging recovery after the surgery, as your body is having a difficult time just bouncing back. So we will see frequently more difficulty in memory, but most of the time it returns back to close to baseline. So I would not be overly worried about that with the total joint replacement. And I'll say another couple things that may help it is that many surgeons are using a spinal anesthetic, and they're minimizing how much general anesthesia you really need. And that spinal anesthetic is the same as the epidural you get when giving birth.
Yeah.
And so there's a much faster recovery and less anesthesia involved with the total joint.
Thanks, Barbara. Okay, and now on to John in Savoy. All right, Savoy. Hi, John.
It's Joan.
Oh, you are so right. My bad. I do apologize.
Hi, Joan.
Thank you for taking my call. I had a knee replacement about 5 or 6 years ago, and the surgery went very well. It's successful, but I developed scar tissue in my right knee, and the scar tissue is very painful. In speaking to my surgeons, they suggested not to go in orthoscopically. They said it could make matters worse. So my question is there anything, and this, it's very painful, and I'm a very active person. I have a lot of things to maintain and would like to be free of this pain.
Okay, we're running out of time here before the break, so let's let the doc answer that.
Okay. Well, it is a little bit of chasing your tail. Every time you do surgery, scar tissue is the body's natural way of healing. So doing surgery to try and get rid of scar tissue, you could be chasing your tail as the scar tissue then comes back twice.
Right.
So what should you do?
I think that's a continued discussion with your surgeon to really look at how much scar tissue you have and how much he thinks he could make that better.
Thank you, Joe. Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. And we are back. We got a lot of business here to do. 1-800-348-2551. Doc, two questions over the what Ray Graff calls the interweb. You mentioned vitamins and supplements for bone strength. Could you recommend what to take and how high the dose should be?
Absolutely. So I would recommend taking calcium, and there's several over-the-counter calcium supplements. I would take 1,200 milligrams of calcium. And also I would take vitamin D. Now, the vitamin D would be important to visit with your primary care physician on identifying where your levels are at, and we can adjust the dosing appropriately.
Now, there was just a major study on vitamin D. It was in the Times last weekend, blind study, and came out that vitamin D wasn't what a lot of people thought it was.
Well, we see this back and forth kind of information in medicine a lot. So at the current thought process of the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons is that it does make a difference, but we'll see. As more literature comes out suggesting otherwise, then we may change.
I'm going to stick with it. Hillary says, I'm currently trying to get into running. Some background about me, early 30s female and could stand to lose the weight, but I have this knee surgery from my early 20s where my knee almost got blown out, forward, not backwards. So when I run, I'll often get knee pain afterwards. Once I couldn't walk upstairs, I feel like a knee brace would help only help rotation. Do you know of anything to help with impact, which is what I assume is the problem?
Well, I think that nice cushioned shoes are going to be important. I would definitely consider using a knee brace to help keep your knee in good alignment. And then I would choose a low impact exercise such as elliptical or bicycling. I would try to avoid jogging or running as those are very high impact and can actually accelerate the wear and tear, especially if you're weight is higher than optimal.
Now, while you're on the subject, let's face it, I'm talking about myself now, not unusual. I have a Schwinn Aerodyne bike, both at work and at home, and I'm wondering, and I have lower back pain. I've had an operation there. Is that a bad idea?
I would say not. If sometimes you have to listen to your body, and if your body is telling you that you're causing it more pain, then maybe that activity's not appropriate for you. But in general, after back issues or back surgery, it's okay to go back to biking.
Interesting. Okay, that's great. I want to do it. All right, now we're going to go to, I'm trying to look at who's been on the most. Oh, yeah, it's Lee in Cohoes. Lee in Cohoes, your turn.
Hi. I'm a 61-year-old woman that's been on an aromatase inhibitor for about 2 years, so they're monitoring my bone density. And in September, I had a CT scan, and the report said that I had osteopenia. But then 2 weeks ago, I had a DEXA scan, and it said my bone density was fine. In fact, it was a little bit higher than the first baseline DEXA scan 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Could you explain why there's a discrepancy and which one is more accurate?
Well, I would certainly go off of the DEXA scan because they're taking into account your age and comparing you with that expected bone density for your age. When you look at a CT scan, you can notice that there is some thinning of the bone, and the radiologist probably just commented that this bone does not look like a 20-year-old bone. It looks like it has some thinning. But the DEXA scan is what I would go off of, since that's more appropriate for your age.
Thank you, Lee.
Thank you.
All right. Now we're going to go to Carolyn. Carolyn in South Egremont, Massachusetts. Carolyn, you're on.
Thank you very much. My question is about knee replacement. I wanted to know if there's ever a point at which you've waited too long and you can't do surgery.
Generally not. A lot of people come in wanting to check out their knee early just so that they don't miss a window. And I would say that you should not wait until you're crippled and in a wheelchair. That's waiting too long. But the surgery itself...
Well, that's what I'm asking. My sister is at that point, I just didn't know whether it's too late now.
No, it's not too late to do it, but I just feel bad that she's gotten to that point in her life where she's missing out on so much.
So, all of us feel that way.
Carolyn,
Thank you so much.
And my only advice to you, Carolyn, is drive slowly through South Egremont. Thank you very
much. Oh, I know. Bye-bye.
Famous speed trap. Okay, let's go now to Andre in Ruby, New York. Andre in Ruby, you're on.
Oh, hi, Alan. Hello, doctor.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Great. I'm a 62-year-old man. I was recently diagnosed with a Baker's cyst. I did a lot of marathon running in the 90s, and I thought it was tendonitis, but it's come to a point now where it's pretty much painful all the time, especially when driving, and I do a lot of driving.
Yeah.
What can be done with that?
Okay, Doc, will you also tell us what a Baker's cyst is?
Absolutely. So Baker's cysts are a symptom of an underlying problem, which is likely that you have some arthritis or wear and tear of your cartilage. The wear and tear of the cartilage leads to inflammation within the joint. That increased fluid as we walk around can cause pressure on the joint capsule, and the capsule then begins to pouch out, kind of like a bleb on a tire, if you've ever seen that, or an inner tube. And that bleb then turns into a Baker's cyst as the fluid pushes out of the knee and into this pocket of capsule. And that can be quite uncomfortable as it pushes on other structures around the knee. We typically recommend treating the actual problem, which is the arthritis, before treating the cyst. But there are surgical procedures to go in and remove that cyst if it's really problematic.
So how does one treat the arthritis?
Well, again, with anti-inflammatories and then ultimately with joint replacement surgery.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Andre, thank you very much. All right, gang, listen, there's two people left on the line. We can get more than that in. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. And let's go to Nina in Chatham. Nina.
Hi, I'm 59 currently, and 8 years ago, I had my left hip resurfaced with the two metal components, and then 2 years later, my right hip due to osteoarthritis. And I chose the resurfacing because I was still relatively young and quite active with a long history of yoga practice. And it was really a very positive experience both times, but I did develop the metallosis in the left side. And so last year I had to have the left side revised to a traditional hip replacement. And now, I had the right side done 2 years afterward. I'm just wondering, what are the chances that the same process is going to occur on the right side, if there's any way of even predicting that?
Well, it's difficult to predict. I'd say that since your body did have a reaction, that it's prone to having another reaction. So you should have continued monitoring and regular monitoring with your orthopedic surgeon. They'll check metal ion levels and an MRI.
Right, I'm doing that annually at this point.
That's perfect.
Because they did drop back to normal following the revision.
That's perfect.
And I'll check them annually. I'm just thinking ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, Nina, thank you. We're running out of time. I want to try to get as many people in as possible. Thank you for your call.
Is it possible to ask whether a lot of stretching and working the joint contributes to that, or is it nothing to do with it?
No, that would not.
You would not?
Okay, terrific.
I'm saying the stretching is fine. I would not be saying that that has anything to do with developing metallosis.
Thank you, Nina. Okay, and now on to... Okay, Roy, near, but not in, near Port Jervis. You're on.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm on the road. I'm traveling from Maine to Pennsylvania and listening to your show. I'm at a rest stop. I'm not driving. And I, 2 years ago, I'm now 72, but 2 years ago I had an arteriolateral procedure, which versus the traditional hip replacement, and where, you know, the procedure I had, they separate separate muscle rather than cut muscle, and it's a ceramic replacement, and I was headed to Florida 3 weeks later and driving, and I had access to a lot of exercise equipment and a pool, everything, and my recovery was really went very well. I now walk about 2.5 to 3 miles almost every day, but I'm wondering, I used to run, and if that is something that, since my recovery went so well, is that something that I may do?
Well, we typically recommend against high-impact exercise, as the metal and plastic will then wear away faster. So I would probably stay away from running, but I'm glad to hear that overall you're doing very well, and that's what we hope for with a total hip replacement.
Thank you, Roy. Okay, and now on to... oh, boy. On to Carol in Pittsfield. Carol in Pittsfield, you're on.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Brown. Carol Link here. You know, I'm a physical therapist. This is a fascinating story. I am my patient. About in 2010, I was told I had a peroneal tendon tear, which was repaired arthroscopically. And during the surgery, unfortunately, the posterior tibial nerve was fully severed.
Oh, my.
And within 5 months, I had a nerve reconstructive surgery to repair that.
Okay. Wow.
But now I'm left with neuropathy. And I was, and lack of range of motion in my ankle. Basically, I have very limited ankle dorsiflexion. And one, yes. I went back to see another doctor who said, yes, you have arthrofibrosis. And then I went to another orthopedist who said, no, your joint space looks really good. The question I have for you then is, how come I cannot get my ankle range of motion back? It's I do have severe neuropathy in the tarsal tunnel. That whole tarsal tunnel distribution. Any thoughts about...
We're running out of time, so Doc?
Absolutely. So arthrofibrosis is a fancy way of saying quite a bit of scar tissue, which is limiting your range of motion. So the other doc that said, well, you have good joint space, well, that's fine. You have good cartilage, but that doesn't mean you don't have arthrofibrosis, which is the scarring after surgery. So I'd say they're not mutually exclusive, and you probably have both.
Okay, thank you.
I see.
Thanks for that. All right, and now on to, well, I don't know who that is. Line number 9, Joe, does seem to have a name on it. Oh, yeah, okay. All right, then we're going to go, since that didn't work out, to Nicole in Berkshire County. Okay, Nicole.
Hi, doctors. I just had a question. I had a hip replacement at 51. And after that, within a week, I had a dislocation.
Oh, man.
How much nerve damage can that cause? Because I was having severe pain in my foot and was prescribed gabapentin for the nerve pain. But how much more will I have a chance of dislocation after a week of my procedure?
Hip dislocation is quite unfortunate.
Listen. Nicole, you got to stop now because we're running out of time. Let the doc go.
I understand, doctor.
Go ahead.
Yeah, hip dislocation is quite unfortunate. The good news is, as the tissues heal in, your risk of dislocating again in the future goes down. The nerves that get stretched as the hip dislocates will almost in all cases fully recover.
That's amazing. That's great. Thanks, Nicole. And let's go to Let's go to Mohammed in Schenectady. All right, Mohammed, you're on.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Okay,
my wife's left shoulder has been messed up for the last 2.5 years. All the orthopedics in Schenectady and Clifton Park have did their practice on her, but they never call her back to say, what is wrong with your shoulder? Her fingers are about to be closing, cannot be opened. What is the solution? Where can I go? Who do I have to see to make sure that this problem is completely solved?
Well, I think that you certainly have to be your best advocate, and if the problem is not being addressed as you hope locally, then I would try to start looking to larger academic hospitals.
Okay.
We have looked through the larger hospitals. They all are pointing back to orthopedics. And when we went twice to the Schenectady one, once to the one in Clifton Park, they give her injections, injection called kills the pain, actually. None of them have ever returned call back, says, you know, how is your hand and how is your shoulders and nothing.
Okay. Let's start to Mohammed because we got to go on. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yep. If you're feeling that you're not receiving appropriate care, then I certainly would recommend looking for another facility that could care for you.
Thank you. Okay. Now we're going to go to Mickey. Mickey, we're running out of time. Be fast. Go ahead.
Hi, doctor. Thanks for taking my call. I have an arthritic toe caused by a bone spur. I had surgery removed, and I do a lot of running. I was just wondering if there's anything other than surgery I could do to mitigate the pain.
Yes, there is a steel shank that you can put in your shoe that will limit the amount of range of motion of the toe. And that can then limit the pain you have with arthritis.
Okay. Thank you, Mickey. All right. Very, very quickly now. It's amazing. We're getting this done. Over to Judy in Albany. Judy, it's got to be real fast. Go ahead.
Yeah, no problem. Quick question, and then I can get off. The one is your recommendation for supplemental calcium. Do you recommend it be given in divided doses rather than all at once, number one? And number two, there's a lot of confusion about the use of acid reflux medications and supplementation. Could you please speak to that? Thank you.
Why don't we do number two first?
It does decrease your absorption of the calcium. And certainly, if you're able to split up the supplementation, it does increase your ability to absorb the calcium. So that would all be good.
Thank you for that. Rod in East Dawson wanted to know, shot into knee, last 2 years?
Shot in the, I'm sorry,
he says
I did not.
Here, shot into knee, in other words,
injection.
Will that last 2 years?
Generally, they do not last that long. It reduces the inflammation in the knee. And most of the time, they're lasting 3 to 6 months. If your arthritis is particularly advanced, then the shot will last less.
Okay, and Barbara Northampton needs bilateral hip replacement. Same time? Can they be both at the same time?
They can. However, complications when doing the replacement at the same time are higher.
Okay.
And so your surgeon will have to have that discussion with you.
Thanks. We're about out of time. I want to thank everyone who called in. Apologize to no one who got left on the line. Thanks to Dr. Landon Brown of Orthopedic Associates of Dutchess County for joining us today. Support for Medical Monday comes from WMC Heart and Vascular Institute with new diagnostic cardiology suites at Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital and Health Alliance Hospitals, members of the Westchester Medical Center Health Network, WMCHealth.org. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Thanks to Joe Makowitz for answering the phones. Our producer, Jib Lavoulis. I'm Alan Chartok. Thanks for listening. Now, stay tuned for a news update. We'll be right back.